And this week, and was reading something in scripture that I was blessed by, and I got a encouragement from, and thought that it might be an encouragement to us here tonight. And so with that in mind, go ahead and take your Bible and turn with us, if you would, to John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9. I was talking with someone recently, I forget who it was, but I made the comment that I start sermon series and I have every intention of finishing different sermon series that we start. And then I get into reading something in the Bible and it speaks to me. And I feel led that if it helped me, then it might help somebody else. And so trust that you'll bear with me for that. I remember Brother Bob there at the church in Oklahoma. He always used to get on me. He said whenever I would have a detailed, prepared sermon, and then some Sundays I'd just go off of notes I had in my Bible, more off the hip, off the cuff type thing, he'd always say, "See, off the hip, follow the Holy Spirit." You know, and so sometimes I try to do that all the time, but sometimes more than others. But John chapter 9 tonight, and of course, this is the encounter, the miraculous healing, where we find Jesus, and he is restoring sight to this man born blind. And this passage not only highlights for us the power of Jesus that he has to perform miracles, but also gives to us some insight into the thought of spiritual blindness versus that of spiritual sight. And again, here we have in John chapter number 9, we're going to read the first 11 or 12 verses. First 11 or 12 verses. You're there, John chapter 9. Look there with me, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." By the way, just as a side note, "and as Jesus passed by." I'm thankful tonight that if you're a Christian, you can say that Jesus passed by your life, and he changed your life, and he changed it for the better, and he passed by my life, and he changed my life for the better, and something always good happens when Jesus passes by. And but it says here, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they did which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." You notice that phrase there in verse number 11, where the man who was healed said, "A man that is called Jesus." And for a few moments tonight, that's just the thought that I want us to see, and that is the thought of a man called Jesus. There's several things that we see, but as we get into it, I want to just ask you this simple question. That is, who is Jesus to you? For some, he's simply a name that they've heard somewhere along the way. They've maybe heard him in church. They've maybe heard him, Lord forbid, used as a cuss word. Maybe they've just heard the name in passing, and it has no meaning to them whatsoever. But for us tonight, we're here in church on a Wednesday night. No doubt we're here because this man called Jesus is one who has no doubt transformed our lives. He's changed our lives. And, you know, you imagine you're living in a world full of darkness. You're unable to see. You think about it. You're unable to see the beauty around you, the world. You're unable to see colors. You're unable to see the nice blue sky. You're unable to see a painting. All of these things, you're just unable to see it. Maybe you meet if you're a woman, you meet a man, you're a man, you meet a woman, and you're unable to see the beauty of that woman you meet. You're unable to see how handsome that man is that you met. I mean, you're just capable of seeing nothing. And this man here, he didn't lose his sight, but he was born blind. And so his whole existence, he had lived without sight until one day he encountered this man called Jesus. And this encounter would change everything. So I just want to see a few things tonight from this passage. Number one, and we already said a little bit of it, but notice there, verse number one. Again, the Bible says there, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. One of the things we see about Jesus is that, especially in his earthly ministry, is that he was always a Savior who was seeking somebody. He was always busy trying to search out and find those people that needed healing, that needed salvation. We know in a previous portion of the gospel, Jesus, when he met the woman at the well, he said, "I must needs go through Samaria." But skip down there, if you would, to verse number 7. Verse number 7. The Bible says there, "And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." That stuck with me there, because here you have the Savior of the world. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. And so here we have the very Son of God, the Savior of the world, who was sent by God the Father to this world to seek and to save sinners. Now he's taking this man and he is sending him to this place in order to be healed. The one who was sent has now become the sender in order to save this man. But we see there, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So again, this man, all he knew was darkness. All he knew was not being able to see anything. All he could go off of was through touch and through sound. He was blind. He could not see. May I say here tonight that before Jesus passed by our life, we were this same man. Now listen, all of us here tonight, we can see. I can see you, you can see me, you can look around, you can see each other. But I'm not talking about a physical sight tonight. I'm talking about a spiritual sight. And you and I tonight, when we were born spiritually blind. We could not see. We were born in sin. We were born in darkness. We were born unable to see beyond our own sinful self, beyond our own sinful nature. But again, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind. And so as Jesus passed by, Jesus was sent to this earth to suffer, to bleed, and die on a cross. He was sent for you and for me. He was sent, and as he was sent, and as he was passing by, and as he was on that cross, he saw us as he was on that cross. Those of us that would be born blind and in our sins, those who would not be able to see. But then we have the disciples, verse number 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And so we see here the disciples are quick to ask him, "Well, Lord, who is it that sinned? What was the reason of this blindness?" Jesus responds, verse number 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." See, the disciples are thinking about sin, they're thinking about punishment, they're thinking about, okay, who did what to cause this repercussion? Who did what that caused this man to be born blind? But Jesus here in his answer, he's revealing that no, he has a higher purpose. He has something different in mind, and it is this, that sometimes there is a divine purpose in our struggle. Sometimes blindness isn't always a result of personal sin. This man did nothing. The blindness in this case was allowed for one reason, verse number 4. I'm sorry, end of verse number 3. "That the works of God should be made manifest in him." In this case, the blindness was allowed to allow the glory of God to be revealed through the healing power of Jesus. But so then it makes me go back and think about, well, our spiritual blindness. You and I, we were born blind. We were born in our sin. We were born unable to see the truth of God's love and his grace. And this man's physical blindness mirrors our spiritual blindness, in that we too, apart from Christ, are blind. In our sin, we are blind to God's truth. We are blind to his love. We are blind to his plan for our life. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is just simply a man called Jesus. Notice there, if you would, again, verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing." So here's our story thus far. We have a man born blind, just like you and I, we were born blind. And all of a sudden, this man, Jesus, is passing by. He sees this man. He takes notice of this man. And Jesus proceeds to work in this man's life to restore his sight. And so he does this. And when this man had this encounter with Jesus, the last part of verse number 7, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So Jesus told him to do something, and as soon as Jesus told him to do it, he did that which Jesus told him to do. Another truth for us tonight, when Jesus tells us to do something, we need to just do what Jesus tells us to do. But then I want you to notice something. Because now the neighbors start to take notice of this. Verse number 8. The neighbors therefore, and they that which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Think about this truth tonight. This man born blind, Jesus passes by, begins to work in his life, tells him to do something. He goes, he obeys what Jesus tells him to do. He comes back and he's seeing, he's able to see. Jesus has made a change in this man's life. And now his neighbors are talking. And his neighbors are having a discussion. They're having a debate. Well, is this him or isn't this him? Some say, yeah, that's him. Some say, no, that's not him. When you and I got saved, and my dad tells this story all the time, because he got saved as a result of folks from the church. Because when I was a teenager, I got out of church, and our pastor and the deacons, they would always come and visit me, trying to get me back in church and staying after me, staying on me, so on and so forth. And well, because of that, my dad got in church, he got saved, became a deacon himself. And but he always recounts that when he got saved and the Lord changed his life and began to work in his life, he had friends that doubted his salvation. He had, or quote-unquote friends, that doubted his salvation. That said, oh, this can't be you. This can't be the same person I knew 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Here's the truth. When Jesus passes by our life, and when Jesus changes our life, the friends of the world, they're not going to notice the new person, the new creature that has been birthed as a result of that. It's going to be foreign to them. They're not going to recognize you, because now you don't do the things you used to do. You don't go to the places you used to go. You don't talk the way you used to talk. There's something different about you that they can't understand, that they can't see. And that's what's happening here. It's him. Some say it's not him. And so now, verse number 10. Therefore, said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And here's the answer we have for all men everywhere. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. What did this man called Jesus do? He made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Here we have the transformation from blindness to sight. And after the man washes in the pool, his sight is restored. His neighbors, again, they're astonished. Is this the same man who was blind? Some doubt, but again, the man boldly declares, I am he. And then they ask him, well, how were you healed? How did this happen? And all he had was a simple but profound answer. A man called Jesus. Folks, I want you to know tonight, for all of the glitz and the glamour that the world has to offer us, and even within the church world, and, you know, in some churches you have, you know, people who think, quote unquote, they're God's gift to Christianity or God's gift to the church or whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, the only thing that we have worth in our life is the fact that we had a man called Jesus that loved us enough to give his life on the cross for us. Anything that we're worth is because of that man called Jesus. And he said he made clay and anointed my eyes, and I saw. Now, something you notice here is that this man, he doesn't fully understand who Jesus is at this point. Right? There's nowhere in this passage he doesn't say, well, the Son of God healed me. No, we don't have that recorded. It doesn't say, well, the Savior of the world touched me. That's not there either. No, all he simply says is a man called Jesus. And I want you to know tonight that that's enough. That's all we need is a man called Jesus. His encounter with Jesus changed everything. And in that moment, the man's story begins to spread throughout the community. That's the power of Jesus. He's not just a figure in history. He's not just a good man. No, he is the one who takes the old and makes all things new. He takes us from being blind to giving us sight. He takes us from being in the darkness to giving us light. He takes us from death, and he takes us to life. People ask you, what's the change that happened in your life? Well, let me tell you what I did. No. Let me tell you about a man called Jesus. That's what made the difference. That's who made the difference. That's who changed my life. We think about this man called Jesus tonight. And his primary goal was to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes. But whatever your need tonight may be, there's a man called Jesus for that. Someone asks you, and we talked about it a little bit on Sunday, but when we go through trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrows, and, you know, life gets a little bit rougher, it's easy to want to, you know, throw in the towel sometimes. You say, what gets you through it? A man called Jesus. And again, whatever your need is tonight, your friends might not be able to meet it. Your family might not be able to meet it. Your pastor might not be able to meet it. Fellow church members not be able to meet it. But if you're a Christian tonight, you have that man called Jesus. And listen, if he's able and big enough to take care of our eternity, what issue of life can't he help with? You know, sometimes we talk about, you know, well, there's more month at the end of the month than there is money. Well, if our Jesus could take care of our salvation, he can make sure you have that money for that bill. He can make sure you have that money for that food. You come into a health problem, That man called Jesus can be there for that health problem. You have a family member you've been praying for that you want to see saved. That man called Jesus. Just like he changed your life and my life, he can get a hold of their life and he can change their life. Folks we pray for in the church that ought to be here. You know what? That man called Jesus. One day, they show up and all of a sudden they're back in church, faithful, serving. Say, who does that? A man called Jesus. Say, what gets us through our week, our days, our months, our year? A man called Jesus. Every morning we wake up, every day we wake up, our feet hit the floor, we have something to be thankful for. And that's the fact that we have a Savior that lives within us. And so you go out this week, this month, this year, and folks that they know you might be going through something, and they still see you have a joy about you, and they say, "Well, what is it that's different about you?" Tell them. Years ago, I met a man named Jesus. Can I introduce him to you? Can I introduce you to him? And you'll be surprised what the Lord can do. And so tonight, just a simple thought of a man called Jesus. This man, since Jesus passed by. I'm thankful tonight that Jesus passed by. I don't know where my life would be tonight. I honestly don't. I guarantee you I probably wouldn't be in a church tonight. Wednesday, March the 12th. I'd probably be, I don't know. At one time I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. At one time I thought I wanted to be a police officer. One time I thought I wanted to be a something to do with computers, something like that. And, you know, I don't know where I'd be tonight. Especially with all my health problems, I definitely don't know where I'd be. But, amen. And but it was because of Jesus. You know, years ago, I had a friend. We were playing on the street across from our school. And he said, "I got to get ready and go to church. You want to come?" To this day, I don't know if he's still in church. I don't know if we lost touch years ago. But that simple invitation set me on a course that changed my life. And it was all because of Jesus. And I had a pastor that when I got out of church, he stayed after me. I had a youth pastor that stayed after me. Church members, the best man in my wedding, stayed after me. And so I don't know where I'd be today without Jesus. You know, you can say the same thing. Where would you be without Jesus? And we ought to be thankful for that grace that he gives to us. And so let's go ahead and we'll close tonight by singing Amazing Grace. Let's stand together and sing that this evening.